Monday, November 14th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, as you and I were preparing for today's program, we spent a good deal of time talking about how the predicted red wave in last Tuesday's elections never developed. Why did that happen? You and I came up with several reasons why the Republicans fell short.
And when I think of life through the lenses, through the perspective of God's Word, there are certain things that in the discussion just increasingly kept being confirmed of how elections come down to people and elections come down to propositions. What is that candidate proposing? And by the way, who is that candidate? Tom, there was a red wave. There was a red wave in North Carolina. There was a red wave in Florida. There was a red wave in Alabama. And in some cases, a realignment of a state or even an area. I mean, Long Island. Whoever expected a red wave in Long Island? You see what's happened in Florida, which historically has been relatively purple at best. But on the other hand, there's a realignment in another direction. Here's the state of Georgia, which was reliably red, that now every election is just up for grabs. So what are some things that maybe we can look at and take away, at least in terms of a Christian world and life view? There's a passage of scripture that I think can be very helpful to us as we try to look at this through a biblical perspective.
Talking about Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Here is a promise that ordered freedom is a blessing in the text, but the avenue to ordered freedom is the presence of vision. Now, you can't have a profitable vision without a visionary who is trustworthy. I tell people a vision is not the key, it's the visionary. And if the visionary is not dependable, then the vision is no longer a dream to realize. The vision becomes a nightmare to avoid. It all depends on that person that's there. And I think that's the thing I want to get to, is that when you present yourself to the public for leadership, they're going to evaluate where you're going to take them, and they're going to evaluate how you're going to get them there, and they're going to do that by evaluating you, the leader. Where does he want to take me? What is his vision? And how will he get me there? Well, I know how he'll get me there. It's already been revealed in what he's done in the past. The best predictor of the future is the past performance of an individual. And I believe that's the walk away that I would encourage our listeners to think through. Now, there are some states that are so entrenched politically in terms of a party, it really doesn't matter who you run. When I was growing up, Tom, there was a phenomena throughout the South in the 60s called Yellow Dog Democrats. And what that meant was you can depend on their vote. Even if you run a yellow dog, they'll vote for him. And I think you've got the same thing in both parties. In some states, they're so Republican or so Democrat, it doesn't matter. One guy put it this way, the state is so blue, when it comes time to vote, it doesn't matter who. That's almost a good bumper sticker. Some states, it's more philosophical. Liberalism and progressivism will vote for anybody that stretches the limit in the deconstruction of Western civilization. And then you've got the same thing in a state like Alabama. Right now, they vote Republican because Democrats don't give them any choice on conservative positions. The issue is not political so much as it's philosophical. But then there are other situations where you got what we call purple states. The state can go one way or the other. Pennsylvania, Michigan, used to be Florida, but not anymore. And that begs another question. Why did you get a red wave in North Carolina? Why did that happen? To the point that it could almost be considered a realignment of these states and some others into the future itself. Well, what I think is it comes down to a candidate who is not imposed upon the electorate, but attracts the electorate to himself or herself and to their position. I put down five things that seem to be common in a race that was a toss-up. I still to this day do not understand how the state of Pennsylvania made the decision they made senatorially for the candidate Fetterman. The only thing is, I look at the other candidate, and when it came time to conservative policies, Dr. Oz was not clear. He was not compelling. And by the way, there was a little bit of mistrust because he's not a Pennsylvanian. He was actually imposed upon the electorate through the Republican primary as they got name fascinated and thought the name would carry the day because of his popularity and the endorsement from President Trump. His case for the sanctity of life was totally absent. But he also didn't present a compelling reason to elect him. Let me give you those five C's, Tom. I believe a candidate has to have a clear, that is, a understandable proposition of why to elect them. Here's what I'm going to do. It has to be clear. The master of this was Newt Gingrich back in his heyday, where he would give you the contract for America or his 4 points in his presidential campaign. You got to be clear. Secondly, you've got to be cogent. It's got to make sense. Thirdly, the candidate's got to present what they're going to do in a way that's compelling. They've got to be able to be articulate in what they want to accomplish. Number four, they've got to have a track record so that they are compelling. They know how to make tactical decisions. They know how to make strategic decisions. And then they've got to be consistent. They've got to be the kind of people that lead. They're not politicians that are going with the winds of the moment. They've taken tough positions and won the day, because it's consistent with what they believe, even when they've got opposition and the headwinds of culture. Let me give you an example of this. In Florida, where Governor DeSantis won 62 out of 67 counties, why did he do it? Well, I look back at the hurricane, I look back at his battle with the federal government, and he becomes almost a poster child of what I've said. He's clear, he's cogent, he's compelling, he's competent, and he's consistent. Or you can say it this way, he's articulate, he is strategic, and he knows when to strike and how to strike and how to communicate. Here's the vision, and the visionary is competent, compelling, consistent, clear, and the visionary is cogent. That lines up with the scripture, doesn't it? Without a vision, the people perish. Go look at the qualifications for a leader in the Lord's church, and you'll see them lining up with these five C's that I presented. My final analysis, Tom, people don't vote for people whose only platform is I'm not the other guy, and all they do is tear down the other guy. The other guy was certainly vulnerable, but the candidate running against them never presented, here's what I'm going to do, never showed their competency, never communicated a cogent, clear, compelling reason. I'm not that person, vote for me, or look how bad that person is. Seldom does that work. Even in an election that had every groundwork opportunity, violent crime, foreign policy disarray, energy crisis, rising inflation, threats of a nuclear conflict, all of those things laid the groundwork for something. But what was missing in many cases was a candidate who was clear, cogent, compelling, and competent and consistent. This is why you should elect me. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I've done. And here's why you can trust me to get this done. Let's move forward. Not just how bad the present is and how bad the candidate I'm running against is, but here's what I'm doing and here is where I want to take you. Now we're back to biblical understanding of leadership. Leaders lead to something, and you trust them that they will be consistent to take you there. They're clear, they're cogent, they're compelling, they're competent, and they're consistent.
This reminder, every Friday we have a special feature called Ask the Pastor. And we're asking you to be a part of our Friday Ask the Pastor by sending Harry your questions. Questions concerning what do the scriptures mean on a certain passage, or perhaps questions concerning the issues of life and how the scriptures address those issues. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.